I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Jack and I call it stick and move. Stick and move, man.
All right, let's do it. Stick and move. Let's move on to the lunch hour. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Texans looking to stick and move. Looking to evaluate their team 2 weeks and change away from the opener against the Kansas City Chiefs. Uncertainty with the Texans, I would say. Astros looking to increase their lead over the Texas Rangers for that second place spot in the AL West. 4.5 games right now. Looking to maybe creep up on the Oakland A's. They're going to play two starting in about 3 hours. Christian Javier on the mound in game one. Game two. First Astro in history to wear number 69, DeJong. Nice. I think I said his name right.
You did.
He's going to be on the bump.
May want to ask Dusty.
Seven-inning games, by the way. Not nine-inning games. So seven-inning doubleheaders. Going to be fun post-game after that. And the Rockets, 2-2 is what the series is at following a blown 15-point second-half lead yesterday. Eric Gordon, MIA, minus 32 with him on the court in the series. By the way, despite being plus 23 in game two. So that just shows kind of how bad he's been the other three games. And a lot of criticism being thrown in the direction of James Harden. I know the Rockets are always sensitive towards criticism with James Harden. What would you say about James Harden after what you saw yesterday? You know the stat sheet's always going to be good to James Harden, but what's your takeaway from what we saw yesterday?
This is a story of James Harden. It was last year and the year before that. It's this year, and until future notice and he proves otherwise, it is about James Harden. Look, it's going to sound harsh, but it's the reason that Rockets, you know, apologists and those in the building that get irritated when people like me and you and Figgy and fans start questioning James Harden in the clutch in the postseason is because there's something there. Actually, there's something not there. This is a story of James Harden. He's drive for show. You putt for dough, you drive for show. It sounds awful, but let me just ask you the question without even stating my thoughts, because I can't remember exactly when this happened. When has James Harden put the team on his back, said, "I got this, everybody's struggling, one of your best players is out," like Porzingis, in this case Westbrook? When has he said, "Guys, follow me, I'll lift you up," and done it in the postseason? Some people texted it when he was at Oklahoma City. That doesn't really matter. He was the sixth man, you know. I'm talking about when he's the guy that's supposed to carry you to the proverbial promised land. When has he done it? Yesterday was awful. Great scoring line. A great line across the board, to be honest. But in the postseason, in the clutch, I've seen Manu Ginobili block his shot when he had a chance to win it. I've seen the Rockets go 0-27 from three-point range to start a half. I saw yesterday an awful, awful, awful turnover in the final minute when they had a chance to lead.
3-7 in the fourth, by the way.
And in the last 21 minutes of
the rookie on him.
In the last 21 minutes of the game. 21 minutes of the game. 3-12 from the field, 1-8 from three-point range, and three turnovers. That's why this is out there. That's why you get irritated hearing about, is James Harden Mr. Clutch in the postseason? Because he hasn't been. That's why.
I just don't know how we're supposed to
even feel about James Harden right now? I mean, I you want to defend your guys in town. I think whenever Deshaun Watson goes down, a lot of times you're very protective of him.
Mm-hmm.
You being me and you, whenever, you know, the Astros go down, even though if A.J. Hinch wets the bed and the bats disappear, people are very protective of him. But I just don't get that vibe. I feel like a lot of people are just starting to understand what James Harden is. And he's at a serious crossroads in his career right now, because a lot of people will say, well, it's unfair, you can't say this about James Harden. Let me tell you something. They were saying this about Kevin Garnett. They were saying this about Dirk Nowitzki when they were in their 30s and they hadn't won championships. If you're going to put someone on a pedestal as an all-time great, then this is what comes with the territory. And those guys won their championships when they were 33 years old. Harden's right now 30. And quite honestly, I think, unlike those guys, I think James Harden, while if you look at the stats, you say he plays a certain way, I think it's hard to play with James Harden when you're in the postseason. I think a lot of times he can get you your shot, and a lot of times you're getting open looks in the corner that you normally wouldn't get if you're P.J. Tucker. But a lot of times when you're watching it, and the game of basketball is a game of flow, when a guy's sitting around there dribbling around for 14, 15 seconds, and then he keeps trying to step back, and then all of a sudden he throws you the ball, and you look up, and there's 7 seconds left on the shot clock. A lot of times, yes, you can say, well, he got his and he had this many points, rebounds, and assists. But a lot of times it's very hard for the guys around him to play this, to play when he's doing that and when he's playing that type of way. It's a unique situation. And I think that if you just look at the reaction on the text line and you listen to people that cover the NBA, he might just be one of those guys that whenever the lights are the brightest, James Harden just does not have that moment, and he doesn't thrive like a lot of guys.
He is an otherworldly talent. Let's be very clear about that. He is one of the best scorers in the history of the NBA. He absolutely gets it done offensively. He can pass. His defense has been somewhat underrated. All these things are true, right? But in the postseason, you have to have the Luka moment. Luka's 21 and has already had more memorable moments than James Harden has had in the postseason. Yes, in the postseason. So it's not – you got to be fair to James Harden, how great he is. You also have to be fair to Houston Rockets fans and ask that question. You know, when has he had that moment in the postseason? It's very, very hard to remember or find it.
Any way we want. The Rockets aren't on their eighth playoff run in a row if James Harden isn't on the team. That's cool. I mean, I'm not going to sit here
and say that's what I just said.
And that's there, but we know what the goal is. We know what the ultimate goal is for James Harden if you want to be an all-time great. And right now, another text on the text line, he's more of a Reggie Miller, Charles Barkley type guy, not a once-in-a-generation guy.
I think he's better than I think he will be remembered better than Barkley and Reggie Miller, to be honest. I really do. I think he's that good. So when you say we can chop it up any way we want, the Rockets aren't on their eighth playoff run in a row if James Harden isn't on the team, you're right. But that's not the goal. That's not James Harden's goal. That's not D'Antoni's goal. It's not, you know, anyone's, Daryl Morey, anyone over there. The goal is to win a championship, man. He's it's quite the dichotomy. I mean, he's got an unbelievable skill set, an unbelievable record and resume. But get it done in the clutch. And in the clutch, he disappeared. Absolutely disappeared.
It's not the first time it's happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the first time it's happened. Now, Russell Westbrook, maybe he comes back and it gets a little bit easier and we see what goes on there. But, I mean, I hold James Harden to a higher standard that – I thought, and again, I might be overestimating James Harden. Rudy T said, don't underestimate the heart of a champion. I might be overestimating James Harden because I thought that there was the Oklahoma City Thunder with Chris Paul and what he had around him compared to James Harden and what the Rockets had around him. I thought they had no business winning. And that's what happened the first two games. But then all of a sudden, because of a meltdown in game three and a meltdown in game four, now we're in a situation where Chris Paul looks like he has the coconuts, and James Harden and the Rockets looks like their backs might be against the wall, and we really don't know what's going to happen. I still think they win this series, but Is it going to surprise me? No. And I probably should have known better, and I shouldn't have overestimated James Harden just based on what we've seen from James Harden in recent years.
He's already going to remember it as one of the all-time NBA greats. But is he going to be remembered as one of the all-time NBA champions? Let me give you an illustration here.
No.
Well, you don't know that yet, maybe, but I'm saying as of now, absolutely not. Let me give you a little bit of an illustration. In the final minute of Game 3, okay, the Rockets are up 2-0 in the series. There's just less than a minute left in Game 3. The Rockets are up 5. Up 5 with a minute left in Game 3 to go up 3-0. What would an all-time, NBA champion do? You stick a fork in them. You step on their throats. But the Rockets ended up losing that game. And in that game, James Harden was not knocking down shots at all, just like he hadn't in Game 2, even though they won. And then in Game 4, once again, in the final minutes, he's nowhere to be found. That's not what you do when you want to be remembered as a champion.
And don't think Eric Gordon's off the hook. I'm getting a lot of texts about Eric Gordon, his bad contract and everything. This guy here has been an absolute disgrace. He's not even one of the top five players in this series. Eric Gordon, if you take away that plus 23 that he had in Game 2, and you can actually leave that in there if you want, he's minus 32 in the series, which means the Oklahoma City Thunder, with him being plus 23 in Game 2, are 32 points better than the Rockets when he's on the court. He's shooting 20% from three and 38% from the field. That's not stepping it up. And we can talk about James Harden needs to step it up. That's just an example of where the standard is when you're a superstar player in the face of his franchise. But make no mistake about it, Eric Gordon has been pathetic. Eric Gordon's been awful. He looks lost. Schroeder's out there shredding him up. Chris Paul's shredding him up.
Yeah.
He looks terrible. I mean, he looks terrible, and that's not good. So he does not get a free pass. But the bottom line is, it's James Harden's squad, it's James Harden's legacy, and James Harden should still be good enough to be able to beat this Oklahoma City team with or without Eric Gordon being the best version of himself. Because let's be honest, you can't rely on Eric Gordon to be consistent throughout the course of a series. He might win you a game here or there, but he's going to be a liability at least half the time as well.
And the other thing is, you can look around the league this year. The Lakers stumbled early. They're up 3-1. The Bucks stumbled early. They're up 3-1. The Raptors, I don't know how they're doing it, but they've got that collective. Jeez, they've got the collective gene.
What's going on with that?
Going on. The Mavericks all of a sudden are in a 2-2 series with the Clippers, which I would fully expect that, Kawhi and the Clippers to get that. And by the way, I fully expect the Rockets to win this series too. We're talking about just like that gene, man. To make it easier on yourself to win a series, and it's not a guarantee. I mean, the Thunder are feeling themselves right now. Chris Paul certainly is, and the Rockets are kind of scrambling. But you've got to be able to overcome those adversities as the other teams are.
Just try to fight a lot of narratives. It just seems like, there's always like the Daryl Morey is like trying to battle some sort of narrative. Like,
and
James
the referee,
the MVP,
he went back to 2018.
It's just it's hard to support some of the stuff that goes on with the extra BS. And the extra chatter that just comes out of there. But they got to get the job done. James Harden's got to be better. Eric Gordon damn sure has to be better. Some say same old, same old. Hopefully not. Maybe Russell Westbrook can come back and save the day. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Sports Radio 610. Let's hear from a Texans rookie that could have a big impact this year. Second round pick and Houston native Ross Blacklock meets with the media types 16 days away from the Texans season opener next.
Texans training camp is happening now. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Stick and move, baby. Let's stick and move. B.O.B. Jack Easterby sticking.
Jack and I call it stick and move. Stick and move, man.
Moving. Ross Blacklock, he's going to have to stick and move. Texans relying pretty heavy on a rookie by way of TCU. Second round pick, no DJ Reader. The Timmy Jernigan signing went down there a little thin at D-line. I know that Bill O'Brien says that it's going to be a year in which the rookies don't know anything. It's going to be a veteran year. But if this defense is going to improve from last year to this year, they're going to need a contribution from Blacklock, J-Lo.
Yes, it's asking a lot from Ross Blacklock. But all indications are he had one of his better days today again. So he's been doing pretty well. But still, you hate to put that much pressure on a rookie.
Well, let's hear from the man himself, Ross Blacklock, from TCU by way of H-Town. Here is Ross Blacklock live at training camp, meeting with the media types, messing with the Zoom.
When you go back to when you reported with rookies to where you are right now, how much more comfortable do you feel, and what do you think you can achieve this season based on not having your normal rookie program?
Yeah, it's definitely been a different change. You know, the world is in a weird situation. But, you know, it's all about just adjusting to new things. And things that the rookies have been through, I think we've improved a lot as a group. I feel like this group that we have of rookies can really help the team in a good way. Just got to keep improving and stacking those days, you know. So as far as has been going, it's been a good process, though. Just taking every day one by one and never taking a day for granted.
Let me ask a follow-up, please. Bill brought up about the way you played your scheme at TCU, says it's different here. How is it different from what you had in Fort Worth?
Yeah, Fort Worth, TCU, my responsibility was kind of holding gaps and for our linebackers and safeties to flow and make tackles. It's essentially almost the same thing here, but where at TCU, I was more lateral. When I stepped, we slanted so much, you know, it's not up the field. It's always side to side and lateral. Here, I can go up the field, you know, get off the ball, penetrate, you know, create, you know, more havoc than I did in college. So I like this system a lot more because it takes more thinking out of it than, you know, as a D lineman. So just got to work on my technique and get better at that, at a new system, you know, stuff like that. But it's coming along.
You guys are getting ready for this first game and you still have some more camp left. What do you think about playing against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and kind of getting ready for that being your first NFL game where it's against the Super Bowl champs and against a quarterback like that?
Yeah, he's a great guy, great player. I just want to keep improving, learning from the vets, gaining their trust to be able to go out there and play with them and to play with a team that just won the Super Bowl. So just learning each and every day, trying to get better in my technique. In practice, I'm just trying to improve to put myself in a situation where I can be able to play and help the team in a positive way.
Hey, so I know you were very emotional when you signed your contract. Since that time, you've been on the field, you're working about 15, 20 minutes from your house. Have you kind of experienced kind of an oh, wow moment since then or multiple ones? What's your thoughts on that?
Can you repeat that last part you said? I'm sorry.
I said you got emotional when you signed your contract, right? And yeah. Now you've been out here practicing about 15, 20 minutes from your house. Have you had like kind of an oh, wow moment, I'm really here? Have you had a couple of them? What do you think about that?
I've had a few. The one when I signed, the day I signed, it hit me hard, I think, because from draft day up to that point, just all the emotions and stuff. But yeah, it's still surreal, like being able just to go home and see my mom at the practice, or just being able to know that this is home, you know. It's a blessing, you know. It doesn't happen to everybody, so I'm just taking it in every day, you know, being thankful I'm not somewhere far away, or you know, I'm right where I want to be. You know, growing up, this was my favorite team, so can't be more excited and more happy to play here.
Hey, Ross. Nice to meet you. It's a small world. Your dad was actually my middle school basketball coach at one point in time.
Really? Where?
Presbyterian school.
Okay, that's what's up, man. Good to meet you, kid.
Yeah, he was an awesome guy. I didn't realize until he got drafted that was the case. I was like, oh, small world. I just want to ask you kind of what were on-field stuff, what is something you anticipated being kind of like the biggest challenge for you when NFL practices got going, and how do you feel you've handled that in the time since you've gotten training camp started?
I'd say one thing as a rookie, just like I stated earlier, Justin, it's like you're a freshman all over again in college, like I like to say. You know, you're starting from ground up. You got to earn your respect. You got to, you know, gain the trust of the vets and the coaches and the players around you. So you're like, your eyes get real big. You don't know what's going on. You're trying to pick things up as they go, you know. So, but once you get everything down, everything starts to slow down for you. So as long as I'm staying on the right track, studying, asking questions, you know, doing extra work, I think that is a way of staying ahead as a rookie and, you know, like I said, it's a crazy year for us. So we got to just be able to adjust on the fly. You know, nobody this year, none this league, not going to slow down for nobody. So, you know, you just got to play a game and catch up right now.
Ross, what have you learned from working with J.J. Watt?
That's an interesting dude. He's a workhorse. Not interesting in a good way. Just picking, trying to pick his brain every once in a while. Just being able to learn from him. You know, he's a super vet. You know what I'm saying? He's been in the league since I was freshman in high school. And just being able to play next to him and, you know, play with him is just, you know, it's an honor. So I'm just trying to learn as much as he can, look, much as I can while I'm here and while he's here. So, you know, one day, hopefully, you know, I can be in that statue, but, you know, that's down the road.
Have you reminded him that you've been watching him since you were a freshman in high school?
No, but I will tomorrow. That's crazy, though. It's been a long time. I used to watch him a lot after, like, after school. I used to come and just watch some games, and I just watched his pass rush. It's crazy.
Ross, what has been the toughest thing for you to in your adjustment to the NFL? Is there one thing that stands out?
I'd say, like, the time that you have that's free because you don't have school, like, use it wisely. Use it for your body. Use it for extra work, extra film. Like, you're not going to class after practice, so you got a lot of time on your hands to use it to your best ability. So, like I said, get in the treatment, get treatment, training room, get an extra stretch, lift. I do yoga every night, just kind of go over my plays, do yoga at night, and just get ready for the next day. So instead of laying around or, you know, doing whatever you're doing, I just put in that extra work, you know, that'll help in the long run.
Ross, has anything happened in the short time you've been a Texan, maybe on the field here, obviously, that if something's happened and you said, you know what, I did this, I belong? Anything like that happen?
Nah, can never get too comfortable. I made plays, but it's still not good enough. I just want to be able to be at my best every single time I play or I'm out there. Just continue to learn and soak up knowledge as much as I can.
A little off topic, we saw J.J. Watt post something about some donuts that the rookies got him. What do you know about that? Can you tell us that story about the Shipley donuts?
Oh, man, that's bad shape. So we was supposed to order Cotta Rabata for the vets, me and another rookie. It was just miscommunication with the vets and the rookies, and the rookies took the L, so we bought J.J. and them donuts that next morning to try to make it up, kind of like a bringing your girlfriend flowers after y'all got an argument. So that's kind of what that situation was. But unfortunately, we're still going to have to get the food.
Hey, Ross, it's good to meet you, man. What are your impressions of Anthony Weaver and Romeo Crennel? What's it like playing for them?
Coach Weaver is a great dude. I can honestly say I've never been a coach. I've been around a coach that acts and carries himself like Weaver does. Great dude, technician, loves to have fun. Just a great guy all the way around. I'm glad he's my coach. I met him in the combine. And I said to myself, I met him for 20 minutes. And I said, man, I wish this dude was my coach. And I only knew him for 20 minutes. And, you know, it's kind of crazy how things work out. But and Romeo, he's a great dude. He's a legend. You know, he's been around the league 30 years, just picking his brain, too. We talk a lot after plays. He tries to get me right and tells me what's wrong and what's good and what I could have done better. So just being able to have them two around me is, you know, is good.
Ross, how does it feel knowing that even though you haven't played one down for the Texans yet, you're already like a fan favorite? I seen on social media the other day that you retweeted a young man who had one of your playing cards.
Yeah.
So how does it feel, you know, to be embraced by the city of Houston already, being a Houston native?
Yeah, it's love, man. I love this city to the day I leave it. You know, just it's a beautiful place. I never had plans on leaving. Like way after football, I'll always be a Houston guy. Just knowing that people out there support me, and my life could have been a completely different shape and nobody could have knew me, but people support me and love what I do, and I love what I do. So it's a complete blessing. Anybody that buys a car, wants a signature, a fan, anything, you know, I'm all up for it. It doesn't matter about the money or thing about it. You know, at the end of the day, I could be doing something else that's not – improving my life or, you know, making somebody else better. So, you know, I made that kid's life a lot better, made his day. You know, that's all love, you know.
That's Ross Blacklock. Ross. I hope he's a good player because he's pretty good at the podium.
He's great. You're going to love him.
B-plus at the podium. Hopefully he can back it up on the field. Houston zone, Ross Blacklock, rookie defensive tackle by way of TCU. Second-year player Lonnie Johnson going to be just as important to the secondary as Blacklock is to the defensive line. We'll hear from Lonnie straight out of Ohio next.
Maybach music.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we heard from Ross Blacklock, the rookie defensive lineman for the Houston Texans. Let's hear now from the second-year corner. Or is he a safety? What the hell is Lonnie Johnson anyways? He's all over the place. Lonnie, live with the media types, messing with the Zoom.
How pleased are you with the progress you've made in your technique? I know you worked on that this whole off season, especially on your trail technique and everything you did with footwork king. And how do you feel about the way you're playing right now?
As far as my technique go, I put in a lot of work this off season, and I just want to see the results. I've been seeing it, so just good off season work.
And a follow up, Lonnie, with being a larger corner, how much do you feel like that helps you and you feel comfortable playing more positions? And Bill O'Brien was saying that, you know, they feel good about you from week to week, you know, primarily as an outside corner, but they also feel like, you know, you can play other positions as well. How do you feel about your versatility?
I play DB for the Texans. I just don't play corner. Like OB said, like I can do a lot of things. So I just play DB for the Texans. That's just my type.
Hey, Lonnie, how's it going? So when you look back on your growth as a man, as an athlete, how do you view the difference in you now from 1 year ago when you first got here and put this uniform on?
A year ago, I mean, coming in as a corner, didn't know a lot about the game, you know, in the NFL. So I learned a lot from year one to year two. You know, they say that's your biggest jump, you know. That's pretty much it, man. I'm just ready to show the world what I can do.
What are a couple things that you could point to that you could show that kind of signify the growth you've made as an athlete, as a player?
Go out there and make more plays than I did last year.
That makes sense.
Hey, Lonnie, thanks for meeting with us. Having just been a rookie last year and, you know, entered the NFL at cornerback, I'm wondering what you thought of the way John Reed is acclimated, not having had the traditional offseason program and all those sorts of things that you got to have last year as a rookie.
Man, first off, I tell John Reed he got it easy right now just because all the stuff I did as a rookie, he doesn't have to do. But I see a lot of growth in him already. He's just quick, twitchy player. You know, he's taking everything in that I'm telling him, you know, with me being in my second year. You know, I just try to coach him up on everything that I seen last year that I don't want him to do this year.
Elani, I just wanted to ask you, how much are you looking forward to that season opener against the Chiefs, given how everything went down in the playoffs?
In my career, like I said before, 1-1 against the Chiefs, regular season win, postseason loss. So being the first game of the season, them being the defending Super Bowl champs, it's going to be a tough challenge, but I feel like we're ready for it.
When you talk about the Chiefs, and we have a while to that game, but how much do you feel confidence in the secondary? You bring a lot of the guys back, like yourself and Bradley, and you added some pieces like Eric Murray and Michael Thomas. And just what's your confidence level like in the secondary for you know, games like that against those top quarterbacks going forward?
Man, we all can do a lot, man. It's a great group. I just feel like we just gelling together as a DB room. And we're going out there ready to play, man, communicating on all different type of levels, everybody doing different things. So just ready to play.
Lonnie, going back off the field for a second, being from the University of Kentucky and the success that your college had had over the years, how hard is it going to be to watch some of those guys that you know not be able to potentially not be able to play this season?
I just tell them, like, the guys that I do talk to, I tell them just keep their head up, man. You know, God got a plan for everybody. So they continue to do everything the right way, stay focused in class, and go out there. And if they are able to play, then they go out there and make the plays that they need to play.
Hey, Lonnie, with your size and speed for the position, now that you've had more football and you've had more time to be coached up here in the NFL, what do you feel like is your potential? What do you feel like some of the things that you're capable of doing now as you continue to mature as a player?
Sky's the limit for Lonnie. I mean, I put in the work. I see the work that I put in with multiple people in the offseason. And, like, I'm just ready, man. The sky's the limit for me, man. I'm ready.
Okay, sky's the limit. I like your attitude. I like the attitude from the puppies on the defense.
Yeah.
Lonnie Johnson and Ross Blacklock. By the way, did the SEC cancel their football season or something like that?
They did not.
Okay. Big Sarge asked him, what's it going to be like to see your Kentucky guys not be able to play? I didn't know if there was
some really?
Games we missed. Does he think Kentucky's in the Big Ten?
I didn't even think about that.
Does he think Kentucky's in the Big Ten? 713-572-4610. Did I miss Kentucky going to the
You missed it earlier. The Astros canceled their games tomorrow.
Yeah, they did.
They will be playing as of now today. Brandon Bielak will be pitching the second game.
Bielak, so no DeJong.
No DeJong.
DeJong.
That's because they didn't know who he was. They didn't let him into the building.
All right, Bielak's got to look in, kind of looking to bounce back today. Old school sports stuff.
All right.
Doubleheaders are typically old school. What's some other stuff you think about when you talk about just old school, grimy ass sports?
Ooh.
Old school.
Baseball doubleheaders is definitely at the top of the list. I would say 3 yards and a cloud of dust.
Wishbone?
Yeah, wishbone, veer, just grinding it out, running the ball. Your big guys against my big guys and trying to get to the edge on speed. Those days are gone, right?
I would say the fullback.
Oh, yeah, the fullback.
I would say the granny shot free throw, which I don't know why that was ever a thing.
Accurate, man. Some of the best free throw shooters in history.
Rick Barry.
Rick Barry. Calvin Murphy. Bang! Didn't he do it for a while?
Did a lot for a while. Yeah. I'm not sure. free throw. Shout out to Calvin Murphy, one of the best dressed dudes in town. The tube socks, although I feel like those are kind of making a comeback.
Elbow pads. Remember when
George Springer should have been wearing one yesterday?
No, basketball players used to wear elbow pads and knee pads. Remember that?
Short shorts.
Short shorts. I had short shorts. Remember those silky shorts?
Short shorts are back.
But the kind of silky sheen on basketball shorts back in the day, that was pretty sweet.
1855 said that it was also mentioned that Kentucky had a lot of success in football with a straight face.
Well, in the last 2 years, they've been all right. They've been ranked the last 2 years. Don't look at me like that. What else? Old school? No middle relievers. Guys would pitch and pitch and pitch and pitch. And if they had to come out, it was just one more guy until the end of the game.
6305 says anyone shooting below 60% in the NBA should be required to shoot underhanded free throws.
I'm not going to disagree.
I don't want to put this coach's name out there, but DeAndre Jordan was going to sign somewhere, and apparently, it's just according to someone I talked to,
yeah,
in the know.
He's another one of Houston's guys.
DeAndre was offended that coach threw out the idea of him shooting free throws underhanded.
Why?
Did
would
not
you
like
would
it.
You rather shoot 85% or 60%?
Just telling you, he did not like the
would
idea.
Would you rather the ball go through the net or rattle off the rim?
Just telling you what I was told.
I understand. I don't doubt
you. DeAndre was offended at the possibility of him shooting underhanded free throws.
Is it emasculating? Because I'd rather be scoring points. You know?
Would you?
Yes. Absolutely.
Can you shoot underhand?
Oh, you're one of those?
Kind of demoralizing.
You're one of those guys?
Got a wet jumper, so I've never had to worry about it.
Wet.
I haven't had to be in
wet.
That type of situation. Wet.net. You want to check out my shot on the internet. Wet.net is the website for it. Old school stuff coming back. The short shorts are back.
Yeah.
James Harden might take a little too far, though.
What about hockey players with no masks?
That's just stupid.
Remember that?
That's just
that wasn't
stupid.
That long ago.
That's just dumb. Mm-hmm. They still do that.
The goalies didn't used to wear masks.
They wore those white things.
Yes.
Which did nothing.
Yeah.
The Freddy Krueger masks.
Yeah.
I got something on my mind. I want to ask you this.
All right. I'm here for you, man.
This is either going to really upset you or you're going to agree with this.
I am here for you.
And it goes back to my travel with time theory.
Oh, God. You and the travel with time.
All right, we disagree on Field of Dreams. I think Field of Dreams is one of the worst sports movies ever. I don't think it's a top 25 baseball movie.
And we absolutely disagree on that.
I think it sucks. That's just my take. Different strokes for different folks.
Gotcha.
But I want to agree. I need you to agree with me on something.
Well, don't make me.
Karate Kid's awful. Karate Kid, not only does it not travel well with time, I can never in my life understand why Karate Kid was a popular movie. That movie stinks. Absolutely stinks. Why was Karate Kid ever a popular movie? Seriously.
Well, you're going to be you're going to be happy.
Why?
I think it's awful.
How is that something that
bad acting?
I can even understand Field of Dreams, even though I don't like it. I can understand why you might. Karate Kid, I do not get.
Bad acting, bad story. The moments is basically two, wax on, wax off, and the little, what are they, the little praying mantis stance that he does at the end. That's it. And by the way, if you did that praying mantis,
I'd knock your ass out.
I'd just push you over.
If you sat there on one foot like you're trying to balance a book on your head or something like that, I'm slapping the crap out of you.
I would just push you over. It'd be like, the James Harden knocking down, one of these things, the hand sanitizer. Be easy. No, Karate Kid is awful. I absolutely agree with you on that.
I can't believe we agreed on that. Figgy, you seen Karate Kid?
Probably like once. And that wasn't a movie I never went back to.
Exactly. Okay, I think the problem with the granny shots, according to the text board, is that they're called granny shots. If they were called, Mr. T shots, everyone would, the rock shots, everyone would use them and want to do it. But because the name is granny shots, I think that's what people have a problem with.
2272 on the text line, I owe you an apology. I said Freddy Krueger. Jason's the one who wore the mask.
Yes.
I got to be better than that.
Yeah.
I apologize. That was bad for me. Someone says RIP Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, he died.
I think his name's just cool.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, that movie, just terrible. Like it's
not good.
There's nothing good about it.
Nothing good about it.
Nothing endearing
about
it.
I mean, the wax on, wax off is cute, but that's about it.
You know something else I've been thinking about, mm-hmm. if we're talking about movies? And this is just random. First of all, it sucks that I can't walk across the street and get movie popcorn anymore.
That place looks deserted, too.
It is.
Sad. So are they just going to come out with like an AK-47 in movie releases? Because they film these movies, and these movies are all supposed to come out. And movie theaters have been closed for, 7 months? Are they just going to come out with like an AK-47 of releases? Or
they've been promoting
it straight to cassette? What's going on?
They've been promoting it like they coming out in movie theaters, so I don't know.
So they're just going to have like hundreds of movies?
Man, I hope so. Big time, do I hope so.
Are you worried about LeBron James' performance in Space Jam, Figgy?
I am. I don't even know if I'm going to go see it.
Oh, you got to see it. Just to compare and contrast. Right?
It would definitely look better.
Oh, yeah, that much will be better.
But I don't know how good the movie would actually be. 2266
says The Karate Kid was a movie actually meant for kids, not for adults. You looking at it from the wrong context. No.
Yeah, but
Sandlot
adults.
Was meant for kids, and it's good. Space Jam was meant for kids, and you can still watch it. It stinks.
Yeah.
Karate Kid stinks.
Like, try to think, what's the story? You have to think hard to remember what the story even was here. And again, two moments. That's it in the whole movie. I'm with you, man. I'm with you on that.
Got a hardo on the text line, 9036. Landry, please, you ain't knocking over crap.
Oh, Batphone had a good one.
I'll go potluck on 9036. I can promise you. You stand by me, and you want to put one leg up in the air, I'm smacking you.
I'm smacking
you.
Over.
I'm pushing you over, 9036.
Batphone with a great old school sport thing. I did this all the time, and it was the dumbest thing I could have ever done. Salt tablets. During and after practice.
Sniffing them?
No, there was a bucket with, they were pretty big. And it was salt. It was sodium tablets. and you would get a handful, and the idea was to replenish the sodium that you lost. It actually dehydrated you badly, and people would die now if they thought you were taking salt. I used to take them like for almost every day when we were working out. I need salt tablets. Oh, great. That's smart.
Someone says Three Ninjas was for kids, and it was also terrible. Three Ninjas dunks on Karate Kid. Not only does it dunk on Karate Kid, it Sean Kemp dunks, puts the testicles on the chin all over the Karate Kid. Three Ninjas was 100 times better than that. 100 times better. All right, someone says, Landry, you can pick this for the rest of your life, 0780, ranch or movie popcorn? Bang, bang. Movie popcorn.
Movie popcorn.
There's replacements for ranch. I go barbecue sauce. I go ketchup. And quite honestly, I go steak sauce with steak, or I could just go plain.
Hold on. Steak sauce with steak?
Yeah. Are we a hardo there now, too?
Steak sauce is good. No, we're normal is what we are.
Steak sauce is good.
Steak sauce is good on, like, hamburger steak. Any other steak?
This is just like
it's
like the unnecessary hardo-ness of Lopez.
It's not, you know, it's called normal. You put steak sauce on like a good steak? Is that what you're telling me? You put steak sauce on a good steak.
Sometimes, if I want to. I mean, if you want to make it better, I don't understand why this is so controversial. I mean, French fries, sometimes you put the ketchup on.
I'm telling you, dude, that's worse than ranch.
What?
That's worse than ranch.
Figgy.
Steak sauce on a steak is worse than ranch.
Figgy, get your guy here.
Yeah, you're the one that needs some help.
Figgy, get your
like, you need a team of people to help you out here, man.
Get your boy, Figgy. Get your boy. Someone come get your man. Get your man, too. Bang, bang. What the heck is going on? What is the arts on the text line to showing chest hair? Some people can show the chest hair. Some people should not. You can show it. I'll say that. I feel comfortable saying that. What is the art to being the right kind of guy to show the chest hair?
It can't be too much, and it can't be too little. That's the art is it has to be just the right amount of chest hair. Like the guy that looks like a fur ball down there on his chest, it's too much. It's way too much. The guy that has like three hairs, clearly not enough.
The pretty boy who randomly shows it too, yeah. Not good. Never mind.
yes
I like,
or no?
I like his work a lot, but there's a local TV guy that should not be showing chest hair. It takes away from his TV look.
I'm trying to think. Figgy? Who shows chest hair on TV?
I'm talking about Ari from KPRC.
Oh, okay.
If I were like one of the producers of the TV thing.
When I'm on TV, I button up.
He's one of the best looking dudes on TV. Like, I mean, as far as just like the TV look,
right?
He's got it. He does some badass skits, but that chest hair. It
can't be too much and can't be not enough.
He doesn't need it.
Like,
he doesn't have the chest hair. Like, you're a hairy SOB. Like, you pull it off. This dude does not need to be showing chest hair. And I don't know why I'm giving manscaping lessons. It's just
but
one
when
of those
I'm on
days,
TV,
okay?
I button up this button. I walk around. I got it going on, man.
Body hair should not be a thing anymore. I agree, 2247.
Hey, Will.
I agree with you.
Although, not what she said.
Yes. Speaking of that, I guess Wade Smith is in for Clint Sterner today.
Oh, yeah. My guy, Wade.
Yeah, Wade's in the building. He's got I think he stole Figgy shirt to wear for the show. Yeah. Wade's pulling it off. Probably hear from Wade and show right after us. Let's go around the NFL. A new potential team for Earl Thomas, plus why the former All-Pro safety could very well learn a very valuable life lesson. Around the league next.
Lopez got that bread now.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.